The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily express those of KCNR Radio and its sponsors. All shows are independently owned and broadcast for entertainment purposes only. Readers and listeners are advised that neither KCNR Radio nor its owners and agents shall be held liable for the content of this program.
Good morning. I could yell louder if you want me to.
I can turn you up more if you want me to.
I think she had her earphones turned up because her eyes started getting bigger. So here we go. It's Sunday, December 10th, 2023. My name is Mark Kent, and I'm your host once again. You're listening to Sovereign Minds, not the podcast, which is on Mondays usually, and we'll probably be doing one tomorrow. As well on Mountaintop Media, and go to Rumble, M-O-M-Kent 101, or Sovereign Minds on Rumble, either way. I'm here in the studio in the great state of Jefferson with my sister Linda, who does all the heavy lifting.
Good morning, everybody.
There you have it. The kid that rocks around the clock is not rocking around the clock today.
I don't know. He's on assignment.
Doing something. Yeah. It's got to be important. And we have Tyler, our producer, soundboard operator, and all-around great guy.
Welcome aboard.
There you have it.
Oh, we can't hear you.
Welcome, guys.
There.
Yeah, now he's on the...
Pressing buttons is a lot harder than you think it is.
It can be, right?
It really can.
Ask my wife. I seem to be able to press her buttons really easy.
I guarantee it.
Yeah, it depends on who's pushing the buttons on who, you know.
There you have it. Brought to you by Julie Foster, Allstate Insurance Agents. 810 Main Street, Red Bluff, California, and her number is 530-527-5534. She's the best and will take care of all your insurance needs. Also, Luke Pearson Construction, Custom Homes and Excavating, licensed and bonded, 530-605-9575. And Crackmaster, who?
Yes, with Jeff Horst down there on Market Street. You know, he's the best in the North State for fixing cracks on windshields. He guarantees his work here for everybody. So, and he's a really great guy down there. He is located at 3208 South Market Street, and his number is 530-241-8373.
Shout out to Marty McGill. I went out there and picked up some microgreens from him yesterday over there at the farmer's market. A really, really great guy, really great product. And I think that they're having yesterday was the last farmer's market here.
Oh, I was wondering.
I think they're going to have some more someplace else. So someone might want to call in if they know that information.
Well, they used to, you know, like Thursdays down in Anderson, and then what was it, Tuesdays over on Churn Creek, but I don't know if they're having those.
I'm not sure. So maybe they can let us know how to get a hold of them. Big O Tires with Jay and the gang over there, and let's see what else we got going here.
I don't know. I don't know. We got a lot of conversations going on this morning.
You know, I'll tell you what. Doesn't it seem like everything is moving faster and faster and faster? It's crazy.
We're spiraling at a very rapid pace.
I want to talk a little bit about this. We got a bunch of clips to play, and we got a guest coming on later on, Dan Sloan.
All right, so we're gonna go watch some football. What?
And I don't know what we're getting.
They're talking in the other room. So.
Yeah, they're talking in the
He's
other room.
He's got it now.
Very good. So there we go. So I wanted to talk a little bit about this last Board of Supervisors meeting, and you know the people that attend there sometimes are just unbelievable. They really are. I mean, it's like, they don't care about your rights. They don't care about anybody else. Oh, we love free speech, but if you start talking more, we'll make sure we talk over you. Just ridiculous. So I want to play a little clip here. We talked a little bit about Trump derangement syndrome.
Oh, yeah.
And that's what these people have. And
they have syndromes, all right. Yeah. Not just Trump, but they have a lot of them.
Maybe there's a vaccine. I don't know. But so I wanted to play this. Are we ready to go in there?
Absolutely.
All right.
All right.
Cool. So here's the problem right here.
Politically, even if you like, I don't care as long as it's not you know who. Supremacist, insurrectionist, and I'm gonna blame you because I saw the news channels. I saw them saying, "He's racist, he's sexist." You would just wake up to pee in the middle of the night. He hates Mexicans, and he says they're rapists, and he hates black people. Remember the Women's March? We're gonna march. Oh, they knew what a woman was then.
I'm going to stop it there. That's hat tip to our friend from Saturday Night Live.
Before we go on, I need to get in here about the town hall that Chair Jones is putting on with Dr. Frank.
This guy's a clown, man.
Hold on a second. I gotta turn my sound
okay.
on here.
Okay. And it's coming December 16th. That's a Saturday at the Red Lion. And the doors open, or it starts at 6 p.m. So don't forget to attend that. Again, that's December 16th at the Red Lion Inn on Hilltop Drive.
Very good. But, you know, we laugh at this, but that's what's going on. And you can understand why these people are so screwed up. They've been listening to lies for so long from the guys that lied about everything and are still lying about everything. He's a racist. He's this. He's that. And what proof do you have of that? Oh, it's a CNN told me.
All right. Yeah.
Yeah. MSNBC. Oh, yeah. And Twitter before Elon Musk got a hold of it. It's just unbelievable.
You know, so. I think sometimes that they've listened to the lies so much and they believed it for so long and they've, you know, carried on that narrative. Even if they know that what they're saying isn't true, they're too afraid to back out or something. Well, I don't know. You know what I mean? That's why
they call it Trump derangement syndrome, is because it doesn't matter how much evidence you support to the contrary, you know, with facts. That's no better. It's all, yeah, because now they're committed. They're so committed to the lie that they can't come back from it. And
yeah, exactly. Just like Hunter Biden, you see where even California, what's he got, 9 charges against him in California, you know?
Yeah.
Nothing's going on. Hunter Biden didn't do anything.
There's no political, attacks and weaponization of the DOJ. That yeah. There's nothing like that, right? Because CNN would have told me the truth because they're so honest about everything. So you can't make the crap up.
No, you can't.
But I wanted to play. We got a lot of clips here, so we're gonna go through a couple.
Okay, let's rock and roll.
Let's start with this one. This is a hat tip to Bill Still, and he talks about the Seth Rich murder and what's going on with that. Now, this is important.
Didn't he commit suicide?
No. But the reason this is important is it feathers into what's going on right now. So this is Bill Still from the Bill Still Report. Here we go. Oh, hold on. Let me get my sound back up because I had to turn it down. That's what I got to turn down.
That's not the Still Report.
No, that's not the Still Report. I got to get rid of that box. It's funny, though, to the point of stupid, you know. I mean, all right, here we go. Here's the Bill Still Report.
Good evening. I'm still reporting on the coup. Unbelievably, after over 7 years of stories and demands to make public what it has on the Seth Rich murder, finally, a federal judge has ordered the FBI and the DOJ to produce Seth Rich's personal laptop, work laptop, a DVD, and a thumb drive within 14 days. Gateway Pundit attorney Ty Clevenger has been the driving force trying to prevent the FBI and DOJ from burying this story for an additional, catch this, 66 years. Seth Rich was shot on a Washington, D.C. street just blocks from his home about 4 a.m. on July 6, 2016. Seth was the data center manager for the Democrat National Committee's headquarters just two blocks south of the Capitol building. Many believe that it was he who leaked the damaging emails from the DNC's database to WikiLeaks, which played a crucial role in defeating Hillary Clinton in the 2016 election. Democrats claimed that it was the Russians who provided the information to Seth Rich. However, a thorough examination of the metadata associated with the emails has shown that the emails came from somewhere in the Eastern time zone of the United States. Our research revealed that the emails could only have come from Seth Rich, the data center manager himself, who found them in the deep, dark recesses of the DNC servers because the transfer times of the information was at a speed completely unavailable over the Internet during that year. According to informed technical sources within the intelligence community, the source was likely a thumb drive which was plugged directly into the DNC servers inside the DNC data center so that there was no Internet involved. Otherwise, the speed of the data transfer was completely impossible. Team Clinton claimed this was Russian propaganda, the start of the Russia hoax they pursued throughout the term of President Trump and finally proven to be one giant lie manufactured to minimize Trump's effectiveness as president. Had Seth Rich lived, he would long ago have provided explicit details about where the information came from and how it made it into the hands of WikiLeaks. According to the Gateway Pundit report from this morning, after years of denying they had anything related to Seth Rich, the FBI and DOJ were caught lying repeatedly. In September of 2023, a judge finally demanded the FBI and DOJ provide all that they had in regard to Seth Rich, and the FBI responded by requesting another 66 years before releasing the information. You know, these things take time, and the Bureau really, really needs a giant new headquarters building out in the West Virginia countryside where their children can grow up free of the travails of the inner city in order to respond to these numerous scandals in a more timely fashion. However, Judge Amos L. Mazant, sitting in the Eastern District of Texas, ruled that the FBI must hand over the Seth Rich items still in their possession within 14 days. That would be by no later than December 12, 2023. We did a series in the weeks following Seth Rich's murder. That series has been erased by YouTube. However, there is a chance it was captured by our own hard drives and is retrievable. Stay tuned. I'm still reporting from just outside the Citadel of World Freedom. Good day.
So that's important for a lot of different reasons. We started following the Seth Rich thing way back in the day because, you know, there was a lot of information going around, Kim.com and so forth, that said that Seth Rich was murdered.
Right.
Okay, they said that he was murdered on the narrative is that he was murdered on the street, but there was nobody there that, he didn't get robbed. All they did was found him six shots, to the back or wherever. And so, excuse me. So this is what started this whole Russian collusion thing. Now, we know that the FBI is dirty. We know that the DOJ is dirty. We know that Hillary Clinton, was the queen of projection. And so when she's saying that you're colluding with the Russians, you can almost guarantee it. She is.
And we know that.
That goes back to the uranium story.
Yes.
About the mining, you know, selling of the uranium to Russia and all that stuff, which
they were doing it.
So the reason we bring this up is if this comes out, And that's 2 days from now. We get any of this information, what you're going to see is that there's some real problems with the FBI again. Gee, they're
no shocker.
And that goes all the way to forward now. And if they had been manufacturing then, and they've been manufacturing it with, you know, through the media, as we've been showing as well this whole time, you know, there's no one. It's no wonder these guys are running around with their heads so far up their keisters.
Well,
they,
yeah,
you know, because they've been being spun into oblivion by the powers that be for nefarious reasons. So,
well, and if it gets exposed, let's hope that something's done to a lot of those guys in the DOJ and FBI.
Well,
I'm just saying.
Stay tuned. And I did want to give a hat tip to the comedian before. It's Jim Brewer, in case you were wondering. And he's a pretty staunch conservative, if you haven't guessed by now. So we've just got so many things going on. It's hard to pick and choose, you know, what's happening in the news cycle so fast to try to get the best headlines that we can to you guys.
Yeah, because it changes. I mean, you get up in the morning and you go, oh, my goodness,
yeah,
another new one.
Yeah, exactly. I do want to play this one. This is Mayorkas testifying, Alejandro, Secretary of DHS, the Department of Homeland Security, Alejandro Mayorkas testifying before the House Committee. On the border security. And this kind of goes to, you know, what we've been talking about here. And I think this kind of gives you an idea of where we're at now, that we've been following the plan, of the Democrats all along here. Mm-hmm. And, there's no problem that the border, there's nobody coming over the border. There's nothing happening there. You guys are all screwed up. It's just another conspiracy theory, you know.
Yeah, but now there's a problem.
Okay, so here, listen to this. This is Representative Clay Higgins from Louisiana.
Oh, yeah. You've identified over 11 laws that you violated. Some of the most egregious: the Secure Fence Act, 2006, concerning operational control; Immigration Nationalization Act, 236, Section C, 8, U.S. Code 1226, concerning detention; INA 241, Section A, 2, U.S. Code 81231, concerning detention; Immigration and Nationalization Act, Section D, 5, Alpha, 8, U.S. Code 1182, concerning parole. We've given you ample opportunity to seek some sort of honorable exit from your executive position, sir. We take no pleasure in witnessing you dismantle yourself as a fellow American before the whole country. Your legacy, millions of illegals enter our country, millions under your watch, loss of operational control of our border, aligning DHS policy as an asset, the Mexican cartel, drug and human trafficking, the disintegration of our national sovereignty, destruction of countless thousands of Texas family lives, overwhelming crime waves sweeping across our country, over a million criminal runners you call gotaways flooding into America, many carrying backpacks loaded with deadly fentanyl and meth, or herding teenage girls into prostitution, sex slave networks across America. 225,000 Americans dead from Mexican cartel drug overdose since you took office 2 years ago. You and your inaugurated president, but mostly you, sir, because you have your whole mind about you, and you have a highly decorated background in border operations, so you're supposed to be the expert. You, sir, are the Secretary of Homeland Security who has failed in your sworn oath to protect our nation from invasion. You had an obligation to execute the president's policies or advise the president if his policies were bringing injury to America. Ultimately, your oath requires you to secure our nation's sovereign border with Mexico and do anything necessary to stop the Mexican cartels from trafficking endless wave upon human wave of illegals into America, along with miserable death, unspeakable grief, graveyards filled from sea to shining sea with the bodies of American sons and daughters, dead from fentanyl. You brought generational trauma upon our country. I believe history will witness your era of service as a transitional time in our country. Well, what was America like before Secretary Mayorkas, and what was America like after him? It's stunning that you could sit there and smugly grin as if you've not miserably failed your country. We could give you money to hire 1,000 new border agents. Nobody wants to work for you. They're coming forth. We can't keep up with the whistleblowers that are coming to testify against your command. We could give you money to deploy all sorts of new technology. I have evidence in my file that you've given command to not deploy technology that you currently have because it interfered with the cartel's business model. We're done with your lies to America. It's shameful what you brought upon our country. Mr. Chairman, I have no interest in asking the Secretary any questions. He obfuscates and lies.
Mr. Chairman.
Yeah, so that kind of tells you what's been going on. They're selling out our country, and are they doing it on purpose?
Of course they are. They have to be.
You think? So, it's just another conspiracy theory because the Republicans said it. Why don't you go down to the border? They're useful idiots, and see what's going on down there. Chinese military-age men coming over in droves,
Yeah, it's not just the people from Mexico coming across the southern border. They're coming from all over the world, and it doesn't mean that they are upstanding citizens that are coming across the border. And it's not all children. I hate to tell you, it's not all kids that are coming across.
It's just another Republican talking point because, hold on, I gotta wipe something off my chin. Really? I would challenge everybody to go back to the last, Board of Supervisors meeting and watch that and see what you're dealing with. The Trump derangement syndrome, the complete obfuscation of the truth. They don't care about the country. They don't care about the truth. They don't care about the facts. What they care about is control, of the government. Across the board.
Yeah.
That's it.
And they think if they have access to people that they'll do what they want them to do.
Oh, yeah, that's working out really
I'm
well.
I'm just saying.
So, but the worm is turning. People are coming to see what's going on. And, you got the liar and thief up there in the presidency who is probably the worst human being that has ever occupied the White House in so many different ways. Not just incompetence, not just a liar, not just a kid sniffer, but his policies are crushing our country. His energy policies, his border policies. We could go on
he's
and on and on.
He's a criminal.
He's a freaking criminal.
He is a criminal. I'm glad you said in the United States because I was thinking evilness. There's some people that are worse than him, but they're all pretty close, Dr. Evil, and there's a few that he's right up there with them.
Yeah, just another conspiracy theory that we don't need to check out because I listened to Rachel Maddow on MSLSD. Let's go to a break.
We are. We're going to take a break. If you want to call in, the number here is 530-605-4567. This is KCNR, 1460 AM and 96.5 FM.
Shout out Jason Aldean, Morgan Wallen, and Dana White. I could have just retired in peace. I could have been golfing with my niece. I could have been chilling on the beach. But I got too much love for the streets. Hey, let's make America great for every religion and race. Yeah, men don't have a vagina. The radical left works for China.
All I ever wanted for the USA was a good economy for your family. Protect the southern border, make a place that's safe for your kids to go outside and play. Look at San Francisco, take a look at LA.
Goldleaf Nursery has you covered. Protect your citrus trees and frost tender shrubs from freezing. Goldleaf Nursery has frost cloth in assorted sizes and custom cut sizes up to 12 feet wide. Just arrived. Living Christmas trees. Choose from Colorado blue spruce, baby blue spruce, Norway spruce, dwarf Alberta fir trees, and fat Albert blue spruce. Tis the season to be freezing. So don't forget to cover up with frost cloth. Goldleaf Nursery is open Tuesday through Saturday from 8 to 5. We're located at 6186 Churn Creek Road, across from the Tucker Oaks Golf Course.
Christmas lights do more than glitter and glow. They represent a gift of love given a long time ago. This holiday season, join Historic Haws Farms on a magical journey through Lights on the Farm, presented by the award-winning light designers at Redding Lights. Climb aboard Haws Express Railways or travel by country-covered wagons through a spectacular interactive holiday light show where childhood memories and family traditions come alive. Enjoy a simple country Christmas with cocoa, candy apples, carolers, and a visit with Santa. And as a very special gift from Greg and Nicola Haws, every Thursday night, children 12 and under are free, with special discount pricing for seniors and veterans every Sunday. It's the Haws family way of saying thank you and Merry Christmas. Limited tickets are available, so hurry. Reserve your tickets today at historichaws.com and make a memory. Start a new tradition with your family at Historic Haws Farms Lights on the Farm, where they've been celebrating the holidays for over 150 years.
Black Bear Diner is open on Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. Feast on traditional home-style turkey, slow-roasted prime rib, and smoked ham on trays with all the fixings. Available Christmas Eve or day starting at 11 for dine-in, carry-out, or delivery. Or stop by and enjoy a selection of your favorite regular menu items. Spend Christmas Eve and Christmas Day with Black Bear Diner. Open daily, 2605 Hilltop Drive in Reading.
Black Bear Diner.
War will cease, the debt increase, and the dead will vote again.
Vote again.
The kind will leave, the dumb will speak, but we say come on then.
Biden, did you know that your policies would bring about inflation? Biden, did you know that your policies would one day ruin the nation? Did you know that your policies make Herod's reign seem bland? One day you'll have to answer to the great I am.
Sovereign Minds. Home of the Free Fire Media, community radio for the North State, 96.5 FM, 1460
Biden,
AM.
Did you know that was my idea 2 years ago?
Oh,
okay.
We might want to. Where's that coming from?
Oh. No, I don't think it's me.
No, that was me.
That was you.
It's always somebody. Right.
It's always somebody.
No biggie.
We're getting calls, and people are interested in talking to you guys.
Cool. All right. So we do have one caller.
Okay,
we've got.
Let's do our announcement. Let's announce the town hall meeting
on December 16th. It is at the Red Line Hotel on Hilltop.
At 6 p.m.
At 6 p.m., December 16th.
Dr. Frank, and that's going to be Chair Jones Town Hall.
Yep.
And it's going to be with regards to Shasta County election data analysis. All right.
Correcto. And first of all, we've got Stones on the line. Good morning, Stones.
Hey, good morning, everybody.
How's it going, bud?
Hey, what's up?
Stones, yeah. Hey.
Hey.
Wow, I heard Dr. Frank's interview last hour.
Yep.
I did not know he was such a constitutionalist. I am highly impressed, and I'm a hard person to impress. Wow, I'm really looking forward to the 16th. And his 7-point steps that he's got, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, it's going to be good. Hey, I missed the first couple minutes. I cannot call in next hour. Will you be having Mr. Sloan in next hour?
Yes.
We will.
We will.
Yes.
We'll be having Mr. Dan Sloan, who's running, I'm sorry. Get tongue-tied, runner. Running for supervisor position. And I believe, is it District 2?
Yes.
Yeah. So if you could ask him a question for me.
Sure. What's the question?
I asked him weeks ago if he believed in nullification and interposition as a county official. And he said he'd have to research it and get back to me. That was like 3 weeks ago. So if you could please ask him that question. He's had ample time to research that. And then so moving on, you guys heard about that. This is a local issue. Substitute teacher in Anderson arrested for exposing himself.
Yes,
I did see that.
Yeah.
Not sure where we're headed on that, but evidently he's been arrested.
Oh, well, we're headed lots of places, and here's why. The Shasta County Office of Education, I have this firsthand from one of their board members. The Shasta County Office of Education is the one that, that clears the substitutes to work anywhere in the county.
Really?
And apparently this person has been blacklisted from other schools. Oh yeah, you heard me right. So, I'm in the middle of doing some Records Act requests and some investigating, to find out how much SCOE has been protecting this person to even remain employed, and if this was even his first account where the cops were called. I don't know if he's had other similar incidences, because unfortunately the schools, they hide this stuff. They absolutely hide this stuff.
Wow.
They don't want it to come out, even though we all know it's there. We all know that the sexual deviancy is there. I mean, hell, it's right there in the curriculum, for gosh sakes.
Right.
Well, it sounds like it has legs and could get ugly.
Absolutely. Well, that's my intent. My intent is to hold SCOE accountable. You know, when he first started getting blacklisted for any reason at all, his ability to teach in this county should have been highly scrutinized before he got arrested for exposing himself.
Who vets him?
Exactly. So any incidents that he would be having would be held in closed session at the SCOE board meeting, because it would be a disciplinary review matter. However, there are laws. There are two whistleblower laws, and there is a Brown Act law that explicitly allow what should be a private closed session matter. They allow a criminal act or an allegation of a criminal act and the information in closed session to be released to an official investigation. So it's a whistleblower law. They're already there. And I'm really hoping we can pull the pin on that and force I won't call him a gentleman. He's not anything near it. But I'm hoping any previous incidents he's had can be forced out into an official investigation, because they're hiding his past. Absolutely they are. Anyways, any other comments on that?
Well, all I got to say is, you know, I'd like to know who's vets the substitute teachers and stuff, because how much digging or vetting are they doing with other ones? I'm just asking.
Right.
You know what I mean?
I have concerns.
I'll be digging
in the next few weeks and issuing some information publicly on what I find on that.
All right.
And the other thing quickly is, I saw a story. It was either KRCR or Action News, probably, that Sheriff Johnson, Yuba County Sheriff, and a third California Sheriff went down to the Mexican border. And, of course, all three of them were highly disappointed with what they saw.
I did see that.
So, just interesting. Obviously, the law enforcement has no jurisdiction to assist immigration, because our criminal legislature and governor passed a law that says, no, you don't get to help with immigration anymore. And so, you know, our sheriff really isn't going to do much about it per se. But I'm hoping it opens up the sheriff's eyes, because, in my opinion, he's an establishment sheriff. He's not a constitutional sheriff. And I'm hoping that his firsthand view on what's going on down there opens his eyes to the criminality that is in government, both state and federal.
You know, the real deal is we're in big trouble, dude. And if these guys don't start figuring it out, it's gonna get ugly anyway. But yeah.
Well, that's just it, right? So when the skirmishes start happening in our state with these illegals, and, you know, there'll be sabotage of infrastructure, there'll be these riots, you know, buildings being burned, all that stuff's going to happen likely by next year, if not sooner. And then the sheriffs are going to have to get involved. And at that point, obviously, the sheriffs that have a direct knowledge of what's going on at the border, they're gonna say, "Hey, I need some militia folks. We need the militia to protect our county." So, I hope it at least helps in that matter. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, hopefully something good will come out of it. So, listen, we got to move on. We got a ton of stuff to go over. We appreciate the call, Rich.
Thanks.
All right. Thanks a lot. Have a good day.
Do we have anybody else on the line? Otherwise, I've got another clip I want to go.
Not
on.
Yet.
All right, cool. Here we go. This is our friend JP. This is We Lie to You News.
Good evening, and welcome to We Lie to You News. Shockingly, today we'll be running cover for a satanic Democrat politician. Can't wait, so let's get into it. Recently, Democrat Senator Dick Durbin has been making headlines in a very liberal way. Dick blocked a subpoena that would reveal who's on world-renowned minor-attracted person Jeffrey Epstein's flight logs. And he also suggested that we put foreign nationals who are illegally crossing our border, coming from countries that hate America, into our military. That would help our military provide just as much national security as the level of security that our border currently provides. The border that these future soldiers easily and illegally crossed. Accordingly, we have a lot of covering to do, so let's start with Epstein's flight logs. Aside from frequent flyer Bill Clinton, who's on those flight logs? Well, a popular right-wing extremist idea is that it's wrong to commit felonies against minors. Those corrupt MAGA people. And unsealing Epstein's flight logs would help shed some light on information that we've been doing our best to keep in the dark. Who were the high-profile people involved with Epstein that were committing felonies against minors? Let's find out what happened. Republican Senator Marsha Blackburn filed a subpoena with Congress to grant access to Epstein's flight logs to lawmakers, probably because she's a racist. But luckily, acting in the best interest of the American people, and also a little bit in the interest of the elites who control him, Dick Durbin blocked the subpoena request. You heard that right. He went out of his way to block an action that would reveal the names of people involved in the sex trafficking of minors. You know, with revealing things like that, it's all downside, no upside. But some people erroneously think this action makes Dick Durbin look like a dick who's trying to protect the guilty, even making it look like he himself is guilty. Included in that is Marsha Blackburn's tweet. Senator Dick Durbin blocked my request to access Epstein's flight logs. What are the Democrats trying to hide? Well, Marsha, he's certainly not trying to hide this. And nor are the Democrats trying to hide anything. They're just trying to protect the American people from truth, which, along with words, is also the same thing as violence. We need a lot of protection from that. Yet the sector of the public that still has morals and a conscience have been outraged at Dick Durbin. But luckily, a Fox News reporter caught up with Dick so he could clear the air with a perfectly good explanation. Take a look.
Durbin, can I ask you a quick question? Why won't you subpoena Jeffrey Epstein's flight logs?
So, who are you?
Hillary Vaughn with Fox.
With Fox, of course. I don't know anything about his flight logs.
Why won't you subpoena them? Why don't you want to know?
I know the issue. I know who Epstein was, but I certainly don't know anything about the issue.
Well, he was charged with sex trafficking, so why don't you want to know who was utilizing his private plane?
Never been raised by anyone.
Senator Blackburn has wanted to subpoena them, and there hasn't been a vote in your committee.
Said a word to me. Not a word.
But aren't you curious, like, what high-profile or powerful people might be closeted predators and pedophiles? Doesn't that concern you?
Of course.
So why won't you subpoena them if you can?
It's the first time anyone has raised it. Thank you, Fox.
So do you? Are you curious about it? Will you do it?
Well, there you go. He was so certain of his innocence and good intentions that he felt secure enough to be comfortable looking guilty. But the plot thickens like a Pfizer blood clot. because Dick wasn't done making headlines for the week. How so? Well, in the midst of a rather inclusive amount of military-aged men flooding across our border from countries that hate America, including tens of thousands of men now coming from communist China, Dick proposed an idea that somehow nobody else had thought of before. Put those men, who are the enemies of America, into America's military. Now on this one, it's all upside, no downside, as far as we can tell. Take a look at this Dick proposing the idea to the Senate.
Says that if you're an undocumented person in this country, and you can pass the physical and the required test, background test, the like, you can serve in our military, and if you do it honorably, we will make you citizens of the United States. Do we need that? Do you know what the recruiting numbers are at the Army and the Navy and the Air Force? They can't reach their quotas each month. They can't find enough people to join our military forces. And there are those who are undocumented who want the chance to serve and risk their lives for this country. Should we give them the chance? I think we should.
I certainly think we should as well, Dick. Consider why this is such a good idea. America has foreign enemies around the world, and those enemies want to kill Americans, eliminate freedom, and destroy America. One way that those enemies are scheming to destroy America is to get their own soldiers planted in the U.S. military, where they could essentially disable America's immune system so it can be taken over and destroyed. So there's no question that America has to protect itself from these hostile foreign nationals that want to infiltrate our military. Yet that takes a lot of manpower to be on the lookout for. Yet problem solved, because with Dick's idea, we could create soldiers out of the men that come from the countries that are America's enemies and use them to be on the lookout for the foreign nationals who are trying to infiltrate our national defense. They'd probably be good at it too, because these soldiers would be coming from the same countries, so they would probably know what to look for. Can't wait to see how this idea works out. All great empires throughout history have fallen, but luckily for us, Dick Durbin is helping make sure that the American Empire doesn't fall. And while we implement Dick's expert military strategies, maybe we could also add some additional strategies. Like instead of bombing foreign targets, we just drop bombs on the U.S. because it's closer and therefore there'd be lower fuel costs and less carbon emissions. Perhaps we could also arm our enemies so that we'd know what kind of weapons they're using against us, which would give us a strategic military advantage. And while we're letting the good ideas flow, Dick, we could also bolster our low military recruiting numbers by using drag queens in recruitment advertisements to make even more people want to join the military. Oh, we're already doing that? The Navy is? Somehow it's not surprising that the Navy is doing that. That's it for today's news. We continue being successful at keeping Epstein's flight logs in the dark. We do have his little black book, though, but we're not going to tell you who's in it. Why is Dick Durbin's name in here? Politicians keep working hard to protect the guilty from the innocent, and our national defense is gearing up to be as strong as Biden's ability to walk. And that's pretty strong. Good night.
There you have it.
Wow, yeah. No one can stop picking on the Navy, can they?
Yeah.
Hey, it's just part of the deal, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
I saw a little cartoon this morning that said, it shows two little boys on the floor playing with little figure things, and it says, nobody ever said that they wanted to play Navy.
Yeah, no.
They had a bunch of little Army guys all lined up.
I like Roseanne made a comment on Marsha Blackburn, requesting of this, or trying to get the subpoena pushed up on the flight log, and she said, I will miss her. So I wonder if Dick's on the list.
Wouldn't surprise me. I knows nothing about it.
Yeah, China's not paying everybody off. No, China's not. We do have direct payments to Joe from China, and that's where Hunter was working, and now Hunter's been indicted on, I don't know how many counts.
Several accounts. Nine in California that I know of. to start with.
Yeah, and, you know, why? Because now you can plead the fifth and not show up to the congressional deal, and they're not working in collusion with each other, and
no.
And this is not a problem, and yeah.
He didn't do anything
wrong. They're all patriots, right?
Yeah, and with that, we've got a caller. We've got Laura. Are you there, Laura?
Yes.
Hi.
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Thank you. My name is Laura Hobbs, and I'm running for supervisor in District 2, and I just wanted to make a public announcement that I'm holding a town hall. It's coming up Thursday at the Reading Public Library between 5:30 and 7:30, and it's open mic format. Everyone's invited to attend.
And that's this Thursday?
This Thursday, yep. 5:30 to 7:30.
All right.
And where's it at? The
public library?
The public library.
Reading Public Library in the community room.
Oh, okay, very good.
Ready? It's at 1100 Parkview Avenue.
All right, very good. And we will see you next week on, on
our show. And which district are you running for?
District 2.
District 2. And we will see you next week on our show.
Yes,
awesome.
We will.
All right, very good.
All right.
Great,
thanks
so much.
Laura.
All right, thanks.
All right, very good.
Bye.
All right, so let's play this quick clip from Buddy Brown, and then we'll go from there. And then we have to do the town hall at the top of the hour when
right.
we come back. Okay, here we go.
What's going on, y'all? We're about to start another world war. Ain't that awesome? Before we get into this video, I want to mention our sponsors, Allegiance Gold. All the leaders of the entire world are just stacking up and coveting gold now, like the dude from Lord of the Rings, my precious, right? But the fact is, the dollar is sinking, and if you've ever been interested in gold whatsoever, this is a great time to buy. Go to 855-45-BUDDY or go to protectwithbuddy.com. Happy Friday, y'all. Looks like we're going to another war. This time it's going to be with Venezuela after Venezuela President Maduro looked at his citizens last Sunday and said, it looks like off the coast of Guyana, they've got about $11 billion worth of oil. Let's hold a vote. Y'all want to go in there and just take it over? And they actually voted yes. Can you imagine if the United States looked at Alberta and said something like that? Like, hey, look at Alberta. I mean, it's pretty. It kind of reminds me of like northern Montana. What if we just went and took it over? What if we just made it ours just because? Let's hold a vote. I mean, good God. And look, I hate to be getting involved with the bigger pecker contest, but we do need to get out the metaphorical tape measure and look at this honestly. Guyana has about 1 million people, y'all. Venezuela, googled it this morning, it's got over 28 million. Not to mention the backing of Russia and China, who all want Guyana's oil, and they all want Guyana's gold. So you look at it like this. To attack the U.S. now, while the U.S. is already involved in Russia and Ukraine, while the U.S. is already involved in Israel and Hamas, it's kind of like a street fight. I mean, Chuck Norris is good, but can he take on everybody at the same time? The thing with all the great Chuck Norris films is they came one at a time, and he handled them. You throw the whole gang on them, it's going to be something different. Does Guyana actually stand a chance? Well, I think it'd be a lot like two dudes entering into an arm wrestling contest. One dude owns a flower shop, and he prunes daisies all day, and he rearranges Hallmark cards. The other dude is the NFL tight end who's about 6'5" and benches 450. You tell me. The U.S. is literally asleep at the wheel with a president that is so old that he pees on himself just to get the momentum going for a speech. I mean, the adult diapers, shout out to y'all, whoever's covering that man, because y'all do a great job at hiding it. You'd almost never know. Here's the fact that people on the left, and especially all the rhinos, they don't ever want to hear about whatsoever. And that is that the world has returned to land grabs. That's just the way it is. We get involved in this whole Venezuela thing, it's going to be the third war. And look, ExxonMobil, I'm told, is the one that discovered this oil to begin with. So I think Exxon should hire its own private army. Wouldn't that be hilarious? I mean, let Brazil get involved. Let somebody else on the border down there get involved. But the U.S. running down to a third war, to me, is insanity. This, to me, reminds me of the 8th grade, because I've got two middle schoolers right now, I would know. You ask any girl in the 8th grade right now what the relationship status is of any kids in that entire grade, she will tell you within an instant, because she's immature and she's involved in everybody else's matters. What my country can't seem to figure out is, just because someone's got a conflict doesn't mean you need to send your son Cody, who's a Marine, down there to die in South America because a dictator wants more oil. Amen? But I don't throw my German Shepherd, hey buddy, I don't throw him in the middle of a pack of 12 coyotes just because they're fighting in the middle of the woods. That's their issue. Who does it actually benefit? Now, we all know President Maduro is evil as hell down there in Venezuela. We know this. Maduro is so popular, though, in Venezuela that he got 150% of the vote. Let that sink in for just a minute. There's a reason, I think, that he's sticking his head out right now more than ever, because oil is very low. He can barely afford to even feed his own military. And like I said before, three wars, y'all. Three wars. I mean, if we're fighting it on three major fronts in 2024, imagine next year if we had three more at it. Now we got six world wars that we're fighting all at one time. Every one of you country folks listening right now has lit a bonfire before. And the way to do that is you take the lighter and you light it at several different points. You get that whole thing engulfed in flames, flames, i.e. total destruction. If you're talking about World War III, if we're going to talk about that, then we're actually racing towards it. We ain't running away from it at all. You know, the first fire was the Ukraine-Russian border. Second fire, Israel-Hamas. Third fire, Venezuela. We're returning to the old days now. Not everybody wants democracy. America is Chuck Norris. But you throw Chuck Norris in there with all the Bloods and all the Crips at the same time, he's going to have a really tough time fighting his way out. And we might as well start all the Chuck Norris jokes in the comment below. I'll be excited to read them tonight while I'm sitting in the deer stand. If you want to hear Redneck Jingle Bells, the best Christmas song ever, click here. If you want to see my interview with Phil Robertson, click right here. This is a fantastic video right here. I really want y'all to be able to see that. We want to talk about Bible verses that are misread all the time. Really cool video right here. If you want a great talk on masculinity, click here. God bless y'all. Have an awesome weekend.
So there's Buddy Brown. A lot of things going on there. Yeah, you know, gee, if you're trying to destroy the country and collapse it, this is the book. This is the playbook. We're running the playbook.
Yep.
Yeah, get on a lot of war fronts, debase the currency, print money out of thin air, counterfeit everything, no backing, try to fund every place, everything and everyone, with money that you don't have, you know, get a puppet in the White House who gets paid off from our, enemies and foreign governments, yeah, nothing to see here, open the border. Yeah.
No, but they kind of told us, I mean, it's right in our face and it's been in our face, the playbook for years.
And the problem, though, is this. White supremacist MAGA Republicans.
Yeah.
Those are the problem. Those are the guys that are destroying the country. It's the Trumpers. Yeah. Maybe we should play that Jim Brewer thing again.
Yeah.
Because that's how much sense that makes. So, yeah, and we even had James Carville over the weekend say, it's the Republicans. Yeah, what's going on? Nothing to see here.
Yeah.
So, we're almost to the top of the hour, and... we've got a couple of guests coming in. Oh, we have one guest.
We have peoples that come in.
Right. So we've got Dan Sloan coming in. We're going to play the town hall at the top of the hour, and then we'll get right into it with Dan and talk about what he's doing and what his platform is to run for the Board of Supervisors for District 2.
For District 2. So with that, I guess we're going to go ahead and go to the break?
Yep, let's do it.
All right, let's do it. We will see you on the other side in about 5 minutes.
Shout out old Saint Nick, Santa Claus, Santa, the big guy. Not the big guy you're thinking about. Nasty Nancy inside trading. San Fran is decaying. Homeless people pooping on the slide where kids are playing. Fentanyl and heroin and pedophiles praying. Start another foreign war and you're the one who's paying. All I want for Christmas is these politicians to put America before their foreign vested interests. No more communism, repeal Obamacare. Ain't no more Joe Biden always falling up the stairs. All I want for Christmas is cheap gas and some mean tweets. CNN goes out of business and MSNBC. If the government shut down, we'd probably have world peace. Until then, we're stuck with expensive milk and World War III. All I want for Christmas is Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama and Joe Biden put in prison. All them already weaponizing their justice system. That's why no one that was on that island got convicted. All I want for Christmas is some cheaper gas, but that will require me time traveling to the past. All I want for Christmas is a safer border.
and to destroy the Great Reset and New World Order. All I want for Christmas is cheap gas and some mean tweets. CNN goes out of business and MSNBC. If the government shut down, we'd probably have world peace.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Michael Harrington. Heavy fighting continues to rage today in southern Gaza, particularly around the town of Khan Yunis, as Israel presses its offensive. The U.S. blocked the latest ceasefire offer from the U.N. as insufficient and is rushing more munitions to the Jewish state. Maine lawmakers calling for an army investigation into the events leading up to a mass shooting.
The move follows a meeting with families who lost loved ones. Army reservist Robert Card killed 18 people in a bowling alley and a restaurant in Lewiston in October, the deadliest mass shooting in that state's history. Now, the Army says there will be administrative probes into the events that preceded Card's death by self-inflicted gunshot. However, the congressional delegation also wants the Department of the Army Inspector General to investigate. Jason Walker reporting.
The U.S. and the Philippines condemning the Chinese Coast Guard's use of water cannon on vessels trying to navigate the South China Sea.
Footage from the Philippines Coast Guard showed Chinese Coast Guard ships blasting water cannons on a small Philippine fisheries vessel. The Philippines and its treaty ally, the United States, separately condemned the high seas attack. It's the latest flare-up of the long-seething territorial disputes in the South China Sea, a flashpoint in Asia that has put the U.S. and China on a collision course. China claims virtually the entire strategic waterway, but the Philippines, Vietnam, Malaysia, Brunei, and Taiwan have also pressed their separate claims. I'm Karen Chamas.
The Border Patrol says it is being overwhelmed by a shift in human smuggling routes, with hundreds of migrants from faraway nations like Senegal, Bangladesh, and China being dropped off now in desert areas near Arizona. More on these stories at townhall.com.
We all hear the radio ads about the IRS. They tell you to be afraid, to be scared, and they try to frighten you into calling. I'm not here to do that. Tax Relief Advocates is different. TRA is here to tell you that if you owe money to the IRS, whether it's $5,000, $50,000, or $500,000, we have a solution. It doesn't matter if you're sitting in your car, at work, or with your kids. No matter where you are, call now.
800-583-0141.
Don't lose hope. TRA can eliminate or reduce what you owe to the IRS. There is zero risk to you. If we can't reduce your tax debt, then you pay nothing. Our passion is taxes and helping individuals fix their IRS problems. We have a 5-star rating on Google and Yelp and an A+ with the Better Business Bureau. You don't need to be afraid of the IRS any longer. End your tax nightmare today by visiting us online at TRA.com or call 800-583-0141. That's 800-583-0141. Tax Relief Advocates, real solutions for real people.
Amazon wants a federal judge to dismiss the Federal Trade Commission's antitrust lawsuit.
Amazon argues the FTC is attacking policies that benefit consumers and competition. Its response came more than 2 months after the FTC, joined by 17 states, filed a historic complaint against the Seattle-based company. The suit alleges Amazon inflates prices and stifles competition in what the agency calls the online superstore market and in the field of online marketplace services. In its request for dismissal, Amazon said the lawsuit faults Amazon for featuring competitive prices and declining to feature uncompetitive ones. I'm Norman Hall.
Egyptians voting in a presidential election in which President Abdel Fattah el-Sisi faces no serious challenger and is therefore virtually certain to win. This will keep him in power until the year 2030. News and analysis at townhall.com. AD and the King lead their L.A. Lakers to a brand new title.
The Lakers are the in-season tournament champs following a 123-109 win over the Pacers. Indiana had no answer for Anthony Davis, who delivered 41 points, 20 rebounds, and 6 assists.
Thursday, Bron had it going. Tonight,
you know, it was me, and he still did his thing. So, but it just wasn't us two.
LeBron James finished with 24 points and 11 boards, while Austin Reeves came off the bench to add 28 points in 27 minutes. L.A. led by just four before a 15-3 run late in the fourth quarter put the Lakers up 115-99. I'm Dave Ferry.
Today is Sunday, December the 10th, and a number of notable people are celebrating a birthday today. Amongst them, former Illinois Governor Rod Blagojevich. He's 67 years old. Actor and director Kenneth Branagh turned 63 today. NFL star Joe Burrow, 27. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Just off down to the village with ice cream in his hand. Oh, he likes the taste there enough. Facing God, save the Queen, man. He made a frown, said in every tongue, Castro should be a crime. Then drifted off to sleep and mumbled, hey, now cost only a dime. Frosty, slow man, kept on melting away. But to prop him up, only enough to get him through election day. Slumpity, slump, slump, slumpity, slump, slump. Who left Frosty alone?
I hear.
We're on.
Well, mics are hot.
You'll get to hear the beginning of that next week, I hope. We're going to set up our Christmas music here pretty soon. We're just kind of fiddling with it. Anyway, well, we're back. Sovereign Mind Radio. Okay. We're going to play our town hall that we play every week now, and then we'll get to our guests. Here we go.
Good day, and welcome to this week's Town Hall News Brief. I'm Phoebe Johnson, your host here with the latest local updates. First up, a substitute teacher at Anderson Middle School is in custody after allegedly exposing himself to students, according to the Anderson Police Department. On Tuesday, the vice principal was alerted by two students that they could see the substitute's, quote, bare buttocks as his pants were partially down. The vice principal went to the classroom and found 32-year-old Stephen Canciani with his pants and underwear around his mid-thighs. She escorted him off campus and called the police. Officers issued a warrant for Canciani's arrest on charges of indecent exposure and annoying slash molesting a child after speaking to the students. Canciani peacefully surrendered Tuesday evening and was booked into jail. Police suspect he may have substituted at other Shasta County schools and are asking anyone with related information to contact them. Next up, on December 7th, 2023, a ceremony was held in Redding, California to commemorate the 82nd anniversary of the attack on Pearl Harbor. Organized by Mike Woodrum, whose father Hank was present at Pearl Harbor in 1941, the event honored the survivors and victims of the infamous attack. Speakers included World War II descendants who recounted stories told by their grandparents about their experiences that, quote, day of infamy. The ceremony involved a moment of silence, emotional speeches, a wreath laying accompanied by bugler playing taps, and the laying of flowers at a memorial, all with the goal of ensuring newer generations learn about and remember those affected by the events of Pearl Harbor, as the number of living survivors continues to dwindle. Overall, through commemorative events like this, the community aims to keep memories alive of those who served and sacrificed. In our last brief, Shasta County is confronting obstacles for those with only 31% of its high school students completing prerequisites for California's public universities. Rural Shasta County confronts economic and cultural obstacles on the path to college, including local political resistance grounded in fears that higher education will undermine traditional values. The county has a 14% poverty rate and lower median income compared to the state. Local political divides include distrust of public education influencing families' values. Some see college as promoting liberal, quote, anti-American views. Officials now aim to honor all choices for careers, including trades, along with 2- and 4-year degrees. They are expanding career technical education to adapt training to critical thinking and problem-solving needed in today's jobs. A collaborative called Reach Higher Shasta now links schools with workforce needs in healthcare and education. It provides information to students and parents about options beyond their immediate circles. The goal is to improve public health and quality of life through education tied to local careers. And finally, the Town Hall Brief congratulates Janice Powell on becoming the mayor of the city of Shasta Lake to Tanessa Audette on becoming the mayor of Redding. We wish you much success in 2024. Thank you for listening to your Town Hall Brief this week. Become part of the conversation at Shasta Lake Town Hall on Facebook or at Town Hall News on X, formerly Twitter.
Critical thinking and problem solving. Who knew?
Wow.
I mean, that's, oh my. I don't want them to teach my kids how to have a skill and think properly. I want them to be loaded up with a bunch of garbage, and that's why my kids don't go to school in the public school system anymore.
But it sucks that the other kids are out there, but hopefully it can start changing some of it.
I do want to mention that Alex Jones will be back on X.
I saw that.
You know, and so if you want to get that out of the way anyway. But I want to get to our guest, Dan Sloan, who's Republican, I believe, and is running for the Board of Supervisors in District 2. And yep. I want to have you tell us about yourself, your background, you know, your personal life and experiences, and then we can get to your platform.
And why you decided to do this.
Yeah, what are you, crazy?
Yeah, I am. I must be. You said you think I'm a Republican. Well, I'm the chair of the Shasta County Republican Party, so it'd be hard for me to hide. He's very, very proud of that. And I've been that for almost a year. Okay. Kind of give me the background on that. And then I'm also the chair of the area chair for Glenn and Tehama counties and Shasta County. And I serve on the executive committee for the California Republican Party as a whole. So out of about 80 people, I'm one of those as well. So I'm very proud of the service I put in there. Yeah, I'm a Redding native. I was born at Mercy Medical and, 1962 and, had an amazing life because things happen and God has directed me toward the goals that I have and achieve. So I give all of my credit to Him. And when I was 1 year old, my father passed. He was in an automobile accident. My biological father. My mother had three children. My oldest brother's 8 years older than me, and then another brother 17 months older than me. And she did what I thought was amazing. She moved to the Bay Area and took on a job rather than going on welfare or taking subsidies. A lot of my work ethic comes from her. And when I came home from the hospital, Kenyon Drive, not road, but drive in Redding off of 273 is my great grandma, Grandpa Kenyon.
Oh.
Interesting. Yeah. And we actually had another house that was out where the Kingdom Hall is, Seventh-day Adventist out in Happy Valley, at Olinda in Happy Valley Roads.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
There's a house that burnt down right next to that church.
Oh.
There was a little white house. And so I grew up part of my formative years early on until we moved in that home and on Canyon Road or Kenyon.
What
Road.
Part of the Bay Area were you in?
You know, she moved down to Lafayette at first, and then we lived in Concord, the Concord Walnut Creek area. Really beautiful at that time, you know, and it's kind of a bedroom community. And she commuted over to the Bay Area, worked for the phone company, and then got remarried. And then when she remarried a man that. Alberto Castaneda, and a Mexican man, which some people are surprised. Catholic, very conservative, loved Donald Trump. He just passed last year, veteran, World War II veteran. So he worked for GE, and he did electric motor rewinding. And one of the projects he did was up here, Shasta Dam. And a lot of the projects that he did were with Red Emerson and all the mills. You know, they have all the DC motors that ran all the belts and all the equipment and everything inside the mills. So he came up here after working for GE for many years, traveling the world. We moved back up here because it was our heritage and the place of my birth and my brothers. And I went to Nova High School, then Enterprise High, graduated in 81. And then I went on to Shasta College. Dropped out of college and bought my first company when I was 23. Trucking, transportation, logistics. Did a lot of work with the military. And then it grew from that into marketing, crane and boom operating, real estate. I had a building contractor's permit. Just did a lot of things as like most entrepreneurs do or business people. Had my hand in a lot of things. And did a lot of work. My largest customers were Philip Morris, Procter & Gamble, Coca-Cola, the Shasta
so
County,
this is what
Shasta County elections.
So this is when you're doing marketing? Is
yeah.
What this is?
A lot of it, like Citibank. When you go into the bank and there's been a new promotion, they spend millions of dollars on it. Well, I had crews throughout three states, California, Nevada, and Oregon, that would go out in advance of these huge promotions and put all of the marketing and everything in place. Like Bose Stereo was one. So you can imagine Best Buy, just major, major projects, and Home Depot, just a whole slew of very large.
Interesting.
Now, I don't work for 500 companies, but I work for 500, Fortune 500 companies, in doing that.
So,
kind of work.
So what do you do now?
Well, it moved on from that. Back in 2009, I had a divorce. A few things happened at that time. You know, the divorce rate, I think, in this county is 50% or about that. Wow. Not that, that means anything, about my personal, issues, but, a woman that I absolutely adored and cared for. We were divorced. And, part of that, through that reassessment of my life, I took a different role. And, I'm also an educator and have been an educator at Shasta College, as an instructor and a professor at Simpson University. I'm a professor at Pepperdine, an adjunct at the law school there, UCLA, and Georgetown University. So I've done a lot in terms of education, have many different degrees, working on a fourth master's degree, have a doctoral degree.
Did you find that the college system was very left-leaning and
yeah.
You know, I mean,
being that's easy. Yes,
that was a quick answer there.
Yeah, being a conservative, you know, I would think it would be hard to fit in. Now we're starting to see a big shakeup of the college system based on these answers this last week with
Hamas,
and,
right?
And
Palestine,
Penn State, and mm-hmm. Harvard, and so forth. So do you think that, you know, when you were, was it worse when you were there or better?
Well, I was going to say, is there a difference when you were going to college and now that you're in the college system,
you
how
know,
that's working?
What has changed dramatically is how the money is received by the universities. Now, I'm a USC graduate. I have a certificate from Harvard. I have a lot of, like I said, a lot of education, and have actually taught abroad, which is part of my story as well. For almost a decade, I worked with the Department of State, U.S. Department of State, in China, Laos, and around Asia, very specific to education, because I have an opportunity, I still do the work, but I have an opportunity to present things in ways that are very high level to people that we need to have good relationships with.
Right.
So I traveled all over China, and I don't have to have a prearranged diplomatic cover.
Do you speak Chinese?
I speak very little.
Right.
And because what happens, I was there.
Probably translate everything now or have a translator.
It's amazing. And the people there, they want freedom so bad. The government's terrible. Awful.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, I don't even tell you guys how terrible communism and socialism is.
Well, it's infiltrated all of our higher education, it seems
right.
like. I mean, it used to be the joke. For a long time, for me, they'd go to Harvard and turn left, you know, I mean.
Right.
And so I think they've infiltrated our schools through the funding and so forth.
And the funding's where the problem, you asked where the problems lie, the differences. So when I was, I'm a Simpson University graduate. I returned to university after 3 years of being a business. I realized I couldn't wear all these hats and try to figure everything out. It was easier for me to get a little more education in business law, for example.
Okay.
HR, you know how complicated HR is.
Right.
Accounting, there's just so much to it. And today, I think it's becoming easier, but even more difficult in some ways because of AI, artificial intelligence, and all of the data analytics and the way we do business is much
everything's
different.
Getting more complicated.
Yeah.
In the tax field, it's getting to the point where I think we're going to see a lockup at some point because
yeah.
the real deal is that even the guys that are administering don't know what the rules are anymore because it's gotten so technical and so complicated
right.
that you can't keep up with it, and they're constantly changing as well. So
I heard you talking earlier, and you were speaking about the American dollar. And that is a really big issue for me because, to me, we just keep printing them. And we just go out and make mistakes and don't worry about the consequences, but we just print more.
Well, the big
which is ridiculous.
The big problem is not just the printing, but we're borrowing the dollars that are being printed from a private bank called the Federal Reserve.
Right.
And that's the problem because why would we pay interest if it was our own bank? So what we're doing is we're borrowing our own currency, and that's and I don't want to get too far afield here, but that's the big problem is that it's not just the fact that we're counterfeiting because that would dilute the currency, but why are we creating this huge debt to ourselves basically? But it's not really us, it's them. It's
yeah.
the big bank. So,
no money, no value there at all.
Yeah.
So my education, my doctorate is in the Chinese currency.
You have a doctorate.
Renminbi.
I was going to say yuan or renminbi.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly.
Yeah. And I did that. obviously, I did this long ago.
The same thing. I mean, it's
exactly because the same thing. What they're looking at is how can we print 100 yuan bills? Like we have $100 bills. It costs 16.5 cents to print a $100 bill.
Or a thousand.
When we demand $100 worth of value.
Right.
And they want to do the same thing. Right. We would just want to print money and get people to give us
stuff.
That's
why I think we're going to be seeing a worldwide collapse. But I don't want to get too far afield.
But anyway.
But before we leave that, that's why they don't want to do cryptocurrency in China.
They cheat.
Yes.
So they know that if they...
I'm not sure who's worse, our government or your government. But,
so why did you throw your hat in this ring to do what you're going to do?
Okay. So when I went to China, my expectations were really unknown as far as what was happening on the ground there. And what I saw was incredible, an incredible issue with the kinds of cheating and socialism and communism and all of atheism, all of the issues that are endemic within a horrible, corrupt society. When I came back to America, we have declined substantially. Mm-hmm. Just in the 10 years I was gone.
Right.
It is insane. I remember back in 2009 when it was don't ask, don't tell. And now look at it today. We've got parental rights that are being trampled upon. For parents in the local schools, we've got people going in and stealing items out of the store if it's $950 or less.
So what do you think you could do at the local level as a
board? Right, jurisdiction is, I'm sure, something that'll come up.
Well, and it probably is. I might as well ask it right now. It's in front of me. You were asked the question about nullification and interposition, and the answer that you gave was that you were going to, you know, look into it and make sure that you understood the subject matter. So you want to go ahead and start there?
Unfortunately, I don't have enough knowledge on that topic yet, the nullification, and I think it'd be better for me to present that at a different time.
Okay, yeah. I'm good with that. Yeah. I know Dick's on the line,
and he's on the phone though right now.
Well,
so.
And he's going to. I want to announce the lighting over there. So we'll go ahead and let him on, but we got to be short with it.
Oh well, yeah. Tyler doesn't know. Go ahead. We'll take the caller now. Tyler, are you there, Dick?
Yeah, what's the name of your guest there?
Dan Sloan?
Right.
Yeah, hey, Dan Sloan, I have your sign and at the Big Red Barn, and I'm going to put it on the fence tomorrow or the next day.
Awesome.
So I'll have it up for you.
Dick, thank you so much. Really appreciate that.
Yeah, anyway, I want your listeners to know that my wife, Frances, and I have a lighted home on Barrel Court, which is close to the intersection of East traffic light, East Bonneview and South Bonneview. And we're out there again with our Salvation Army Red Kettle. Last night was really good. We had bumper traffic for quite a few hours.
So everybody knows, you can see Dick's barn from space.
It is amazing. The whole court there, Dick, around
that's
your home,
true.
They've really
that's
done
true,
a lot
yeah.
of work there.
Anyway, last night I had Robert Rossi and his son drop by to help, and I have my regular Robert Exter, and my kettle guy is Morton Dysegi, last night Wynn Carpenter brought his daughter Katie by. She's been a regular helping me. She's a really great helper out there. And then I had a gal named Lisa Mitchand. I know her from
Michaud, maybe.
Michaud, yeah. She shows up a lot of the
fundraisers,
and also she showed up unexpectedly, wanted to help. I said, I'm just loaded with helper, but I got her phone number and all, so I can, if I need help, she'll come help. She showed up with her son, which is really great. And I sat across with her once at a fundraiser, so I know who she was, but I couldn't remember her name at the time, so I had to write it on a card here. But anyway, right now, I have Frank Rhodes is sitting in my living room now having a cup of coffee. He dropped by to give me a birthday gift. My birthday is next Saturday. So, anyway...
How old will you be?
92.
Wow.
What a guy.
Anyway, I invited people to come by. The lights come on about 5 o'clock, and we're giving the kids 5-inch candy canes. Last year, we gave away probably about 14,000 of those candy canes, and right now, I start the season with about 15,000 in my barn, so we have lots of candy canes. I say we give them to children and whining adults, because... Some of it out there, well, you know, we're kids too. We like a candy cane. So, okay, you take one. But anyway, the lights come on at 5 and we'll be out there and we take cash, no canned goods. but we take checks. If you want to write a check to Salvation Army on the lower left memo line, write Red Barn Kettle, or I'll write it in there. But anyway, we'll be out there every day. We're out there every day in the month of December. We even keep the kettle going after the kettle program shuts down, which is a couple of days before Christmas. So it's 3187 Barrel Court. It's a big red barn. You can't miss it if you're driving down South Bundy. And I hope to see a lot of your listeners come by.
All right. Hey, listen, thanks,
Nick. We appreciate it.
We're going to we got a short amount of time here, so we got to move on, and we got Terry on the other line. So
good luck, Dan.
Thank you, Dick.
All right.
Thanks.
And with that, I guess we'll go to Terry. Terry, you there?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm just curious. I've been listening for 24 minutes, and I haven't heard anybody talk about the supervisor race. I'm in District 2. I'm a voter in District 2, have been. In living in the same area for 45 years. I'd like to hear what Dr. Sloan, I'd like to hear some questions or something about what's going on as far as where he stands on the issues.
Do you have a specific question, Terry? And then we're trying to get to it.
I have one question, and that is that I'd like to know how Dr. Sloan, what he thinks the most pressing problem is, and a short answer, please, Doctor. A pressing issue that we have when it comes to the issues we have in our county. What's the most pressing issue, number one, for him? That would be one question, and I hope we have a few more questions about the supervisor race.
There you go. Perfect.
I have four issues that I put together. I was on your show, and we spoke about this. But
One, sir. I'm not going to interrupt you. Just one is fine for me.
Homelessness.
Go ahead.
Homelessness, crime, jail, and drug eradication. I see those as combined because they do infringe or touch each other.
And what would be your solutions? I mean, we've got a homeless problem. We've got a criminal problem.
Right.
Give us some solutions. What do you think?
The issues on that is because one thing is if you could go out and do something about people in tents or like outside the when we walked in today, there's puke. I'm sorry.
But yeah, I know.
There's other stuff out there. Yeah, we saw that.
Okay.
Yeah, it's like,
outside, wow. Yeah, we have to step over it just to get in here. Right. And we got to do something about that. And I have been out putting up signs, knocking on doors, talking to a lot of people. And what they're telling me is we need to do something about that.
Like what?
What is
that
something?
Put them in jail, mental health facilities, what do we want
right,
to do?
All of the above. And my stance, just to put it simple, Terry, is that people are going to get help. They can have their freedom and get help, or they cannot have their freedom and get help. It's
well,
that
with all
simple.
With all due respect, Doctor, you haven't answered my question. We've been asking about a solution. What would be your solution? What would be something that you would bring forward, with all due respect, you'd bring forward as a solution for that? And other questions can be on the voting situation, things like that. But we know what the problem is, and it's great to talk to people, but do you have a specific solution, an ordinance? Do you have anything that you're thinking about, sir?
AB 43.
Okay, explain that to the folks.
That is the care court. I'm sure you've discussed it quite a bit on your show. But it is a program, actually, that was just signed by Newsom a month and a half ago. I forget the exact date, but I'm also on the board at the Good News Rescue Mission. I've been on there for years. I'm the treasurer.
I'm not trying to be rude. You started with something and now we're on the mission. I just wanted to know about AB 43, sir. That's all. Go ahead.
Because it deals with the mission. So, what happens is, Jonathan Anderson, who's the CEO over there at the mission, and I and others there on the board have discussed what we can do to play a role in that particular program. The city of Reading, Tanessa and Mark and all the other people there that are on the city council have been discussing issues to find ways through an at-home program, which is the city of Reading, the city of Anderson, and Shasta County, and Shasta Lake City, for us to find ways to get together and resource rich without going into too much cost to use those resources in order to comply with this new law. What is AB 43?
I'm not familiar with it.
What the law does is it basically says that we will have a conservatorship type program for people that need help but do not necessarily want to get it. And what I see is people that are unwilling to get the help that they need for whatever reason. And they all have different issues. So we're all individuals. We all are God-given, and we have people that are mentally ill. Some are addicted to drugs, alcohol. Some are in abusive situations. They've been out of work. But it's a matter of getting people into the help that they need.
Is that private money or public money?
Is it
private money or
it's
public
a mandate.
Money? And is there grants for that? And how would the county and how would you as a supervisor be even involved in that? Where would your jurisdiction be on the money? Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, that's where AB 43 comes into
it's
effect.
It's public money. So
it's public
money, correct?
Right. Right.
Okay, so you're looking for taxpayer money for that. Go ahead, sir.
In addition to that, at the mission, the vast majority of the money that we receive does not come from public money. So it's donations of homes or financial resources from people. So that's what I'm saying. It's a combination of resources. And why would we abuse those funds when we can put them together with other jurisdictions, multiple jurisdictions like the city of Anderson, the city of Redding, Shasta Lake City, and throughout the county so that we can make sure that we're using them wisely? Because I'm a conservative. I believe in making sure that the cost that we pay for something is the least
that
we have to pay.
I understand all the platitudes, sir. I get it. With all due respect, again, the question really is, what is the solution to that? You're using
the solution.
But I'm almost done. Yeah. You're using public money, and you want to use private money, and you want to combine the two. But again, is your jurisdiction of the county, because you really don't have a lot of jurisdiction over the city, you'd be willing to reach your hand out for a partnership. But it's sort of more of the same. Don't you have any specific county programs that you've studied that you know that you can use right now for the homeless?
At home.
And what are those?
So what we're doing now is we have outreach that'll go out to the
are you
tents.
Talking about the county does?
The county funds those programs.
Okay.
The city funds those programs.
Okay.
Department of Health and Human
Resources. Sure.
It's a combination of using, like I said, all of the resources. And we have even with the city of Reading, we have CERT team? Different resources that we can put out. CINTIF to help with drug eradication and other things.
Do you have jurisdiction of the county to make them do it?
Well, that's what we're doing with the at-home program, is seeing what we can do to partner with these other jurisdictions.
Listen, we got to go to a break here and then come back and we need to move on and get on some other questioning. So,
all right,
thanks,
with
Jerry.
That, we are going. All right, we're going to take a break and we'll see you in a few minutes. We'll see you on the other side.
I've been lost and so afraid. Give me purpose, guide my way. If I was the devil, I'd make kids question their gender, make them normalize sexual offenders. I'd make sinning seem cool and God seem like a fool and tell people his community.
Hello, I'm Shannon Phillips with the McConnell Foundation. As part of Operation Holiday Salute, we would like to take a moment to thank our veterans and the brave men and women who are currently serving in the armed forces. At the McConnell Foundation, our mission is to help build better communities through philanthropy. We value excellence and integrity, using our personnel, facilities, and financial resources to create and support positive change. We are honored to be a part of Operation Holiday Salute on KCNR.
30 years ago, Simpson University arrived in Reading with a promise to serve the North State. Warmly welcomed by this far Northern California community, we forged lasting partnerships, serving our neighbors locally as well as globally. Building on our promise, Simpson University now offers over 20 degree programs. Our promise to be the gateway to world service begins in our backyard. Learn more about Reading's hometown university at simpsonu.edu.
Considering the purchase of an e-bike, why not get more bang for your buck? Reading Electric Utilities e-bike program offers $1,000 towards an e-bike and $150 towards a lock and helmet for income-eligible applicants. With gas and car prices on the rise, there's no better time to take advantage of the new cycling connections in Reading. Join the movement to save some green while going green. E-biking means more fun, more trails for your tires, and more smiles per mile. Find out if you qualify at cityofreading.org/rebates.
Hi, it's Mark from Haven Humane Society. Are you looking to add to your family? We have puppies, kittens, small critters, and farm animals. Each year, we have thousands of amazing animals looking for homes come into our lives, and we hope to have them join yours. Follow us on social media and find our links on our website at havenhumane.org. Watch our weekly content on YouTube, like our Mark's Monday mashup, when we talk about what's going on and introduce you to our team and adoptable animals. Get involved. Volunteer. Thank you for all your continued support. Together, we are moving closer to our ultimate goal of a North State with no more homeless pets.
Sovereign Mind, that was supposed to go earlier. That was Biden. That's all right. So I want to get back here, and we've got a bunch of stuff we want to cover. So I don't want to get on any one topic, and because I want to talk about voter fraud. I want to talk about
machines. We've got a lot of things we want to cover.
Sanctuary state. I got people in the chat room asking questions. You know, one is, will you debate Laura Hobbs? As a matter of fact, I'm looking at that. Are you open to a debate with her?
Yes.
Okay, very good.
And that might happen here on the station. But anyway.
Okay, so go ahead.
During the break, I only have real quick with this AB 43. I had never heard of it, wanted to try to understand it. My understanding is the governor saying that people to come and take conservatorship of these homeless people and be in control of their money or whatever. I have issues with that because I do know, like with veterans, if I am to help them out with their bills or anything like that, then they want to institutionalize people whether they have a problem or not. Anytime the government comes in and is in control of a person and their money, there's problems. In short, do you see a problem with that?
I am with you on that. I do not want people to be held against their will if they can get the treatment they need without having a conservatorship.
Okay. Yes or no? Are you against the government coming in and having control over somebody, regardless?
No.
Okay.
I'm good with that.
Yeah. All right. So I want to ask about election fraud. Do you think there's any voter election fraud in Shasta County?
Yes.
Okay, very good. And
next question.
Okay. Do you think that we should get rid of the machines to go to hand count?
That I would like to debate.
Okay.
Okay.
Are you okay with the governor appointing a board of supervisors member if Kevin Cry is recalled?
Absolutely not.
Okay, very good.
Do you think our ROV is transparent?
No.
Okay. How about Sanctuary City, Second Amendment? Do you believe that what we're doing is proper with Second Amendment Sanctuary City?
Depends on who, on what you're talking about there. Second Amendment, I'm all for 100%, and for us to keep our local control over our Second Amendment rights. Yes, indeed.
So that's
the resolution is what you're talking about? Is that?
Absolutely.
Okay, yeah.
And so that's why people are kind of getting anxious because we've had people say they're conservative before and they get in there, they do exactly the opposite and they don't usually give straight answers to the questions.
I just bought a couple more guns. I've got lots of them myself, semi-automatic, that for me, growing up in Shasta County, that's what we did.
Well, it's the bigger issue of supporting the Constitution and keeping local rights intact. And that's what we're looking for on the Board of Supervisors is somebody that's going to enhance the current board. So are you a Trump supporter?
Yes.
Okay.
Because I'm the chair of the party, I just recently went down to the convention, had lunch with, lunch with Trump. Dinner with DeSantis and another lunch with Ramaswamy, and I actually had a Zoom call with Ramaswamy as well. Have spoken to, because my whole intent, and that's where people misunderstand what I'm doing. I educate myself extremely well. Obviously, I've got a lot of degrees, so that I know the topics really well. And I wanted to speak to them so that I would know where they're at.
Right.
With Trump, he has an enormous amount of support. I mean, it's phenomenal. And people that don't understand that are probably going to be shocked when he wins the primary. And if it worked today, he'd win in a landslide. And then in November, if things continue the way they are, and we always have to be, you know, prayerful that things will go the right way, I think he's going to win in a landslide.
I agree with that. As long as we can stop the cheating, and it might be such a massive landslide victory that they can't cheat, and because I still believe the cheating is going on, and in a variety of ways. I mean, the FBI has been involved in the cheating with the suppression of the laptop and so on and so forth. But I don't want to get too far afield on that. But the reason I bring that up is because I wanted to kind of make the point that in the primaries, it's time for all the candidates that are, you know, being vetted to get maybe a little beat up and get straight answers to questions that are being had, whether, I don't care who it is, and then we can all come together after the primary is over. And it's kind of like what's going on here in Shasta County. We want to make sure that we get the best candidate, period, out of the selection that we have, and we don't want to get bamboozled. So that's why people are saying, I want a straight answer to straight questions. So, and I told you that coming in that, you know, we're not going to softball anything. And we want to get those answers out there because that's what people are looking for.
And yes. whenever there's a question as to will you meet with somebody, will you debate with somebody, my answer is almost always yes. And okay, just like good. Earlier, I want that opportunity. I may sit with people. You may see me sitting somewhere in a cafe and you'll go, wow, what's he doing with them?
Right.
That's my whole intent, is for me to educate myself about the issues, to know the various views on it, and that way I can make very good and informed decisions.
Oh, good. Well,
the reason the question in it so much is because, like before, we've backed people or had people in office, and they present themselves one way. And whether they drink the Kool-Aid or do the dance, they turn cold. I'm telling you right now with some
I'll
of the people.
I'm not a fan. I'm a libertarian. So I don't like Republicans or Democrats.
You don't like me?
Not you personally. I don't care, you know. What I'm saying is that the Republicans, historically, especially in Shasta County, the recall, Modi, Rickard, I'm a conservative, except they don't do anything conservative. So that's the problem, is that we've got guys saying they're conservatives, but they're not. So what is your definition of being a conservative, I guess?
Of a Republican.
Conservative, it means that I have issues that are consistent with people who want less government, less taxes, Second Amendment, God, family, country, you know, all of the platitudes, you know, they're talking about. I am very frugal in the way I spend my money, and I'm very frugal in the way I spend your money. And I've proven that at the mission.
So you're in line with the Constitution, is what you're saying?
Yeah.
The government that governs best governs least.
Right.
And we've had this before. That's why you're.
Well, I think from my view, and I'm the chair of a party. Okay, the one you're asking about.
Right.
Is what I have seen is, and we've just gone through data, because we get it from the ROV. And it shows all of the voters and all of their information. Okay, as a candidate and as the chair of the party, I have access to that. And we have 23,000, a little over 23,000 people in District 2 that are voters. Okay, and out of that, 48% of those are Republican. And we have nonpartisan. We've got every other party, Democratic and Green Party, and so forth and so on. When I look at that, I'm looking at how can we increase that by making sure that we provide the kinds of services, and I am doing what I need to do to serve these people well. I listen very, very well. I really don't care if they're a Republican, Independent, Democrat, or whatever party. If I'm able to help them find a solution that also fits with my foundational values and those that are legal, that follow the rules of our county, and those are the kinds of things I'm talking about. I'm not a woke individual. That's another thing that's not conservative, where you're going to bring values from outside the community, from L.A. or from the Bay Area.
How about from Mitt Romney and Ronan McDaniel?
No. I love Harmeet. I've met Harmeet several times at various conventions, and I think she's amazing. I would love to see her as a.
Yeah, I think McDaniels needs to go. She's been terrible.
Oh, and we have these discussions. I mean, what happens? I was just going to say, if you're running for office in Shasta County, most likely you're going to run as a Republican.
To get elected, you almost have to.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. 60 to 65% of the vote, traditionally, I'm just looking at data.
It's conservative,
right? And that's the facts.
Yeah.
So if you're going to run and you're going to win, you're probably going to have to run as a Republican. So we have a very diverse committee, and what has happened recently, as of last Friday, we've had a committee that is going to be structured differently coming up as of January 2025, because traditionally have only had maybe three or four people that have run for the Shasta County Republican Central Committee. So the others were appointed. The three or four that got in, along with the ex officios, which are representatives of our incumbents at the state and U.S. level, Congress and Senate and legislature or assembly, they would appoint a person each. So if three from that, we had three or four people that ran. Those people would appoint who else was going to be on the committee. I am proud to say that we had more people running than we had seats available this time. Out of 24 seats, 21 of those are up for election.
That's unusual.
That tells you something.
People are getting
people
involved.
People want to be on that committee.
So I have a question for you. Okay. We've got a Democratic ROV. We got a Democratic DA. We got a Democratic Flores. What is she?
School board.
School board. Or she's
A superintendent of
schools? Education.
Superintendent. Education. Okay.
And we have a sheriff who has been aligned with all the Democrats on pretty much everything. And the last election was backed by Sierra Forward, which is a absolute off the charts left wing organization. All you got to do is look at their board of directors. So how do you explain that?
If we're mostly Republican.
If we're 65% conservative, how do we have those people that are mostly left leaning or leftists in those positions that are key positions in the county?
You're asking me a similar question to how did Biden get elected, right?
Basically.
Okay.
Same thing.
Yeah. I don't know what's in the hearts of the people. I don't know if we had good candidates. I know many of these people, and I've served on committees with many of them. Like I said, I personally try to keep very good relationships with people, even those I don't agree with politically, and I've been able to do so. Your SCOE, Shasta County Office of Education, as you know, Arthur Gorman is one of the he's one of the members of that board and is on our committee. I also serve on other committees like the STEM committee, Science, Technology, Engineering, and Math with SCOE. We just had 1,100 students down at the Shasta County Fairground. Education obviously is a big issue for me, and I'm very good at it, so I like to contribute back to our community. So I know these people, and I listen to what they have to say. We don't always agree, but I think they gain support from people that look at them and say, maybe they can make a change. Maybe they can make a difference.
You don't think there's any hanky-panky going on at the ROV over there? Because it doesn't make sense to me. And then why are they fighting to keep the machines or the vote in the hands of the government, the governor down there? So I mean, they immediately pass a law. So I think there's got to be some kind of voter suppression. What do you think?
I'll hold this up so you can see it. It's not published yet.
Yes.
But it says, Shasta County's hand count controversy, a broader view. And this will be published in the Sierra Thread probably tonight or tomorrow. Or
okay.
Next couple of
days. That gives your view on everything?
A very long article on AB 2582 and mostly on 969.
Right.
And I was involved in that, and because of what's happening with Kevin Cry, the recall, I was not involved in the Modi stuff. I just wasn't involved at that time. I was getting back from China and doing other things for the community and Wells.
I wouldn't say that super loud.
Yeah, but I served my country and I served it well, and I bring back knowledge and experience that is unique to this community, and I'm very proud of that. I'm definitely not a communist or a socialist, and have the ability to tell people what's so incredibly wrong with it. So
saying that, I would think that you would be more interested in looking at the ROV and the machines and everything,
right?
Because over there, we all know how it goes.
You don't get a vote.
You don't get a vote. So that's why it's so important for us here to make our vote count the way we want it count, you know, for them to be transparent.
Well, any dissent, and that's what you're talking about when you have more than one party, is people with a different view.
Right.
Right? They have dissent. Well, any dissent is met with disappearance. You just disappear. You're not there for
there's
long.
There's no dissent.
Right. Yeah. There is none.
There's none.
The beauty of our system, even though we get on the radio like we are today and bemoan the fact that we have people that don't agree with us and all that, that's the beauty of what we do. Even within.
Well, that's why we have to preserve it. It's like
the
Board of Supervisors meeting right now. You got one guy who stands up there, they let him talk. I go up there to talk, and the guy tries to drown me out, yells things from the crowd, and circumvents my free speech. That's the problem. The people that we're dealing with don't care about our free speech. All they care about is that they get to speak.
Well, in conjunction with what you were just talking about, and the ROV, you know, my company delivered the voting booth ballot supplies for the elections in Shasta County for quite a few years. So I know all the precincts. I know the issues, the voting booths falling out of the back of the pickup for the
What do you think about
voting? So you were part of putting the machines and everything in the precincts?
Correct.
So what do you think
the
about
ballot boxes, the voting machines?
So what do you think about
I
that?
I did for years. Okay.
Yeah,
so
what
I
think about the system?
Well, here's the problem is anything. I mean, if you're going to ask me, does fraud exist? Absolutely. You know, are we sinful in nature? Absolutely. Do people cheat? Do they steal?
Sure.
You will never stop that.
If men were angels, we wouldn't need a constitution to bind them down with. I get it.
Right.
So
we're never going to have a perfect system. So if you ask people,
we don't want to encourage a system
makes
cheating easier.
But you have to recognize where your defaults are in order to correct them. Right?
Right.
So that's what I'm looking at. Where are we wrong so that we can do what's right? Play the devil's advocate, and I do that with a lot of stuff.
Okay.
So that I know how we're going to approach it strategically to make it right.
Well, with the system that we got, what do you see wrong with the system that needs to be corrected?
So here's what happened is Dominion, and what happened on January 20th, or January 2020, with 21, with J6, you know, and all of the issues there. And President Trump, stating, very ardently that, the election was stolen, Dominion was bad, we had, MyPillow guy, what's his name,
Mike Lindell.
We had a whole slew of people. I put up on my, Facebook, I had a discussion with, Larry Elder just recently, standing in the, Shasta County Board chambers. I've done a lot of research on it. And what I've seen is that Dominion was really a major problem for a lot of people. And in Shasta County, we became very famous being the chair of the Shasta County Republican Party. My phone rang off the hook. And I couldn't go to a convention without people patting me on the back. Oh, you guys are amazing, all the stuff you're doing. Okay, so there was a lot of support in getting rid of Dominion. If we had gone faster to another alternative, we would have probably avoided a lot of problems. And what it did was got a recall for Kevin. And unfortunately, what they did with 2582 was eliminated a selection for us to choose who we would want if that unfortunately did happen. But back to 969. At that time, Kathy Darling Allen stated in the paper that we didn't need any new hand count rules because the law is already written. There's no need for her to go to Patrick's town hall meeting is what she said. The rules are already set. Within a month or two, suddenly the Secretary of State is saying, wait a minute, we need new rules.
Right.
We
got to
have
10
feet between the tables, 25 on each tabulation form. We got to have all of this stuff put in place that's going to cost 1,400 people or something like that. It was a ridiculous number of people they were going to hire.
They lied about all of it. They lied about
and that's where I got them on them at. And I wrote letters that were submitted to the Assembly and to the Senate opposing 969. You'll be proud to know that every Republican except for one in Orange County opposed 969. We came out in force to oppose it. It wasn't just me. It wasn't just our county, but it was all Republicans statewide.
So now what we do, we've got 969. Now what do we do?
Well, what they did is they came out and started saying, well, we've got to have all these rules. We argued that if you do that, you are going to use the urgency clause to get this done, and you're going to do it and disenfranchise the voters. The fact that you're going to cost us millions of dollars and delay everything the way that you are is going to cost the voters their rights. So what did they do? They eliminated those rules that they just created by making them moot. They said, oh, we're just going to revise the rules, revise AB 969 to say, we're just going to make it illegal. You just can't do it.
And so I know they're talking about challenging that in court because it needs to be challenged, because what they've done is they're circumventing the Constitution and taking away local control from the voters who are being disenfranchised, mm-hmm. who don't trust the system anymore. So now we've got a real problem with going forward. So how do we solve it?
Well, here's I think the resolution is already in the works, and we've just spoken about it earlier, Donald Trump. Because what is happening, we're like 80, less than 90, 85, 87 days, something in that area, until the primary.
Right.
It'll happen very soon. We need to make sure that we have a candidate that's going to go in there and win big in March. That'll give us the impetus to get behind that candidate, which is probably, and I almost undoubtedly, going to be Donald Trump. He'll go to the general election and he'll win in a landslide there. When he does, it'll be January 20th of 2025. All of the stuff that Biden put in place, where he took away the Keystone Pipeline, all the executive orders will be overturned.
But that doesn't overturn anything here, though.
And election commissions, everything he can legally do to change the circumstances there, and I know he has jurisdictional issues, but he has to do something in order to ensure that what happened to him does not ever happen again.
But we have.
I'm not in favor of spending millions of dollars to fight a lawsuit when we're 80 some odd days away from having an election that's going to put the guy in place that'll have the legal authority in a year from now.
But we need to take the power back in our own backyard. We need to be able to protect ourselves and do mm-hmm. something now in our own backyard regardless.
We are doing that. We have HART systems now. I know HART InterCivic is – and here's the problem with a lot of people. I say, how confident will you be, Mark, how confident will you be that a voting machine can be accurate?
I have zero confidence.
None.
Okay, so no matter what we say, it's the issue of confidence. You're
Absolutely.
Not confident. Right. So we have to find a solution to that. How can we make you confident? Because here's what happens for me as the chair of the party. I'm trying to go out and get grassroots votes in. I'm trying to encourage people to come out and vote.
You know what would
if
make
they
me
don't
conf-
feel confident.
I think
I count
we could
by hand.
Well, not just that. You know what we could do? There's several things. Voter ID.
Yeah.
Boom,
that,
easy,
that's
but
true.
Done. You could count at the precinct
level. I'm all for that, voter ID.
You count at the precinct level. Each individual precinct is responsible for their own counts to begin with, and at the smaller level, the hand counting would go really smoothly. How about if we fingerprint everybody who votes? Because then you could match the ballots up immediately with the voter.
How about not all mail ballots?
Yeah, how about getting rid of the boxes and the mail-in ballots? Everybody has to show up to the elections office on day one. You put your fingerprints
yeah.
on. You show them your ID. So that's what needs to happen. Now, that's a state-level issue, but we need to start fighting back locally, is my opinion.
Well, we have to win first, and if we're not going to be able to win those votes or win the elections, which, as we've all talked about several times here, Donald Trump is the heir apparent.
But we have to win in our own backyard. We have to start taking back our
own. We are. We are.
Regardless of what happens up at
the federal. We absolutely are.
But that's the question. So we need to worry about what we are going to do in our backyard versus the feds.
So let me ask you this. You've been sitting in on the board. I haven't seen you speak at the board, which has been.
I have.
I think you did once.
Zuckbucks.
Zuckbucks.
Yeah.
So I'd like to see.
In opposition to it.
More
yeah.
that. But right now, the way the board is, do you agree with the way that Jones, Kellstrom, and Cry have been handling it? And would you vote with them if on the same issues that they've already passed, would you have voted with them?
I have to know what the issues are in order to know how I'm going to vote on them. So I can't really come out and say, absolutely, I'll vote with them, because I don't know what the issues are.
Well, I'm saying in the past, like Sanctuary City, would you have voted?
Yeah.
Okay, how
mask
about...
Mask mandate.
Mask, you're getting rid of the mask mandate.
Yeah, I'd get rid of the mask mandate.
How about going and getting rid of the voter machines?
Voter machines.
Again, what I've explained is I was for getting rid of Dominion. We've got a different system now. The mandates and all the stuff we fought so fervently for have put us in a place now to where we have hand count ballots, but only to 1%.
Right.
We've got a machine that is mandated by law in 1967 is when these laws went into effect. We've got to change that law, and we've got to overturn 969. Where what I believe is that we should be doing all of this at the local level. If our citizens, and it sounds like the majority of them want to use hand count ballots, they should be able to do that.
Exactly.
That's local control.
Unfortunately, we're going to run out of time. We're there, and we can't cover everything in a short amount of time. Yeah. But I think we got some ways, and we can always have you back as well.
Yeah. Thanks for coming in. We appreciate it.
We'll have Laura coming on the show next week, Laura Hobbs, and we're trying to get all the people that are running, you know, in here, so we can get as many questions answered as possible in a short amount of time. So. With that,
register Republican, vote Republican, give me a call. Can I tell them where to go?
Yeah.
Okay.